translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. So all the names from Marichi to Daksha, repeat this, names of sons of Brahma.
The names of sons of Brahma.
Cha.
And.
Dashama.
Dashama.
The tent.
Tatra.
There.
Narada.
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 Translation. Marichi Atri Angira Kulastya Kulaha Kratu Brigu Vashishta Daksha and the ten sons Narada were thus born. The whole process of creation, maintenance and the solution of the cosmic manifestation is meant to give the conditioned souls a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. Brahma created Rudra to help him in his creative endeavor, but from the very beginning Rudra began to devour the whole creation, and thus he had to be stopped from such devastating activities. Brahma therefore created another set of good children who were mostly in favor of worldly fruitive activities. He knew very well, however, that without devotional service to the Lord, there is hardly any benefit for the conditioned souls. And therefore, he at last created his worldly son, Narada, who is the supreme spiritual master of all transcendentalists. Without devotional service to the Lord, one cannot make progress in any department of activity. Although the path of devotional service is always independent of anything material, only the transcendental loving service of the Lord can deliver the real good goal of life. And thus the service rendered by Sriman Narad Muni is the highest among all the sons of Brahma. Om Magyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sagamaragunatam Vitam Kamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pramami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Vipasandhu Vyayevacha Paritanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramitananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadhi Murukakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Mukam Karoti Vacham Padmam Langayate Giri Yatri Patamaham Bande Shri Guru Ninata Paramamai Mama Bhavani. So the whole process of creation, maintenance and dissolution is meant just to give an opportunity to conditioned souls to go back home, back to God. That is the main purpose of all this endeavor on the part of Lord Brahma, to assist the Lord in the process of creation. We should always remember that actually Krishna is the supreme creator. He created Brahma. He created everyone else. But But actually, the spirit soul is not created. The soul is eternal, has no beginning, no end. And since time immemorial, the conditioned soul is trying to forget Krishna. It's trying to enjoy the material world separately from the Lord. And in this way, the conditioned soul only brings misfortune to itself. So out of compassion, out of mercy, Krishna, being very kind, he allows the living entity to try to fulfill his desires, material desires, separately from him. He's very kind, we try. But he knows that that is not the best for us. As a loving, kind father, he makes arrangement that we come back to our senses and understand that our real benefit in life is to go back home, back to God. That's the real goal of life. No matter how much we try to make it comfortable here in this material world, it's just not possible. There's always some problems. Old age, disease, death, birth, so many problems. There are other problems, economic problems, social problems, political problems, this problem. But the main problems are this old age, disease and death. So when Prabhupada was visiting South America, Venezuela, in the morning walk, Virabhava Prabhu, he mentioned to Prabhupada that his professor at the university, he said that this idea of God was invented by man because of fear of death. So he was an atheist, a few words, but he argued like that. Because people fear death, that's why they invented this idea that this is God. Prabhupada immediately told him, tell your professor that if the problem is dead, then that's why we think of God. Then let him solve the problem, we don't worry about God anymore. If we think of God because there is death, then let him solve this problem, we don't bother about God anymore. But Prabhupada said, don't ask us to stop thinking of God without first solving the problem of death. So what is the meaning that there is death? There is some higher power above us. Because who is willing to die? Practically speaking, no one. Prabhupada said, he's not afraid of death. Your professor is not afraid of death. If some criminal, some thief come and put a gun on his head, he said, no, please take all the money, don't kill me. Immediately, he will become very frightened. So he's not afraid of them. So he just is speaking like that. So, of course, Krishna, by creating the material world once and again and again and again, because this process of creation and the dissolution have been going on for many times. We don't know how many creations have passed. Unlimited number of times. Because Krishna never loses patience completely. Although we are a rebellious soul, trying to forget the Lord and trying to exploit material nature, lording over it, then the Lord could have just put us to sleep forever. We don't give him any more troubles. He has this power. You know, we are sleeping at the end of the creation. When annihilation comes, we enter the body of Mahavishnu. We lay down there unconscious until the next creation. So why there is again creation? Because the Lord feel compassion for us, for all conditioned souls. They are inactive now, sleeping. He could just leave us like that forever, sleeping condition. No trouble anymore to create and maintain and destroy and all this. But the Lord is so kind, so merciful that let give them another chance. So Lord Brahma, he created all these great sons, and the tenth son, Narada, he thought that unless people have the chance to know about the devotional service of the Lord, there's hardly any benefit for the people. And with this idea in mind, he created the son Narada. Because Narada was empowered by the Lord to disseminate bhakti yoga, devotional service to the Lord. Of course, we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that Narada Muni, he mentioned to his disciple Srila Vyasadeva his previous life. Two previous lives. He said once he was a Gandharva on the heavenly planets, and he was a great musician. Anybody remember the name?
Upavarhana.
Yes, correct. Thank you. So he was very, very expert musician. He would play all kinds of instruments and sing very sweetly, like an angel. So of course all the heavenly ladies will follow him, you know. They have his own fan club. So they were all following him everywhere he will go, and you know, encourage him and, you know, like that. So once in his planet, there was a big meeting, Sankirtan Yajna. All the sages came, all the Nigas came to perform a big Sankirtan Yajna, the glorification of the Lord. But Upavarhana came with all his ladies, you know, admirers, and he started to sing some mundane love songs, you know. And he was being encouraged by these girls. But the sages get upset. There is a meeting to glorify the Lord, not to glorify some mundane love affair. So one of the sages cursed him. You are behaving like a Shudra. I think you better become a Shudra in your next life. That was the curse. But actually from the Puranas, there are more details about that birth as a Shudra of Narada Muni. Actually, he was born as a prince, as a king's son, first. But to fulfill the curse of the sage, what happened is that the kingdom of his father was invaded by some other inimical king. And his father was killed, so his mother ran away to the forest with him on her arms. He was a small boy. So she took shelter at the house of a Brahmin living in the forest. And she became the maidservant of this Brahmin. Brahmin was old, so she was assisting him cleaning and cooking and all this. So she became maidservant to this Brahmin. And in this way, you know, he became the son of a Shudrani, this way. Fulfilled. But he was so fortunate that during the Chaturmasya period, great sages came. They were on pilgrimage and they stopped at his home and they stayed 4 months there. So he had the chance to assist his mother in serving them, prasad, and take care of everything they need. And he was hearing from them all the Krishna Katha they were discussing. And with their permission, he would eat the remnants of their prasad. So by doing this, he became enlivened, spiritual, became very much advanced, actually. And when they left, they gave him initiation and gave him instruction how to perform devotional service. He was only 5 years old. Still, he tried to follow the best he could, their instruction. and the old Brahmin died, and once his mother was milking a cow, a serpent, snake came and bit her, and also she died. So he was left alone, 5-year-old boy. It's Krishna's mercy. The only attachment I had in this world was my mother. He took away that attachment too. So that is also his mercy. So he made this cremation ceremony for his mother. And he went to the forest. He was living in the forest. Just taking the fruits that fell from the tree and the water from the river. And I was meditating on the Lord in his heart, and chanting the mantra that the Prabhupada called them the Bhaktivedantas, taught him to sing. Then one day, while he was in full meditation, he saw the Lord in his heart, and he became completely ecstatic, full of bliss. And when he opened his eyes, that same form he was seeing in his heart was in front of him. So he became even more blissful. All his senses were surcharged with transcendental ecstasy. So, but then the Lord disappeared. And he tried again, to meditate on the Lord, to see him again. And no matter how hard he tried, he could not. But then he heard the voice of the Lord in the sky telling him that I appeared in front of you just to encourage you to achieve, because those who are not, you will not be able to see me again in this life. I just appeared to you to encourage you to pursue me even more. Those who are not 100% pure, they can't see me all the time. And what was the that impurity that Narada had? He was living a very pure life, no sinful life at all. He was living in the forest and performing, devotional service by chanting, remembering the Lord. But Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the small fault in part of Narada was that he was still a little attached to the mode of goodness, to the beautiful scenery in the forest, the sound of the river, beautiful, sunrise, mountains, all these beautiful things, in the mode of goodness. He had a little, very tiny little attachment to that. So because of that, the Lord said like that, just see, what to speak of passion and ignorance. Even attachment to the more goodness also impediment to achieve your devotional service. So at least we should try hard to diminish the more we can this passion and ignorance, because they are completely impediment to our devotional service. At least more of goodness is it's closer to transcendental goodness. We should not suffer your goodness. So the cultivation of more goodness is very important in order to transcend even that later. So Narada Muni, in that life, before he became Narada Muni, when he died, he immediately took a spiritual body. And he gave the example as lightning. When there is lightning, immediately you see the flash of light. Is it? So the same way he said, in a second, I immediately took a spiritual body. And that spiritual body was of Narada. Although he had appeared as the son of Brahma, that was also a pastime. Because he was already liberated soul, he didn't have a material body at that time, as Narada, but a spiritual body. And that at that every moment also, an amsha, or part of one of Krishna's friends, Madhumangala, entered the body of Narad too. So Narad Muni is partially eternally liberated soul and partially a conditioned soul who got liberation. So both things are there in him simultaneously at the same time. And Narad Muni has disciples all over the universe. All over the universe. He has great disciples like Prahlad, Dhruva, and many, many others. Even a snake became disciple of Narada. By his preaching, one snake became devotee. Big snake, you know. So he instructed the snake about devotional service. So when he came back to see the snake disciple after some time, he found the snake's body full of wounds. You know? So he asked the snake, why is that? He said, since I became devotee, I stopped, you know, hurting anyone. These children took advantage of my meekness and humbleness to throw stones at me and beat me up, so that's why I have all this wounds. I'm tolerating. And Narad Muni said, no, no, no. If this boy comes to disturb you anymore, you should hiss at them, show your tongue, become fierce, but don't bite anyone. Just frighten them. Like that. Meaning that sometimes superficially devotee may show like he's angry or something, but internally he's not. He's not. He doesn't feel an enmity or enviousness toward any living entity. He should not, of course. If he feels that, that means he needs more purification of the heart. That's the nature of Vaishnava. He doesn't, he's not revengeful. He doesn't hate even his enemy. Okay. Any of you have any questions or comments? Yes?
Sorry. Can you please explain again about Narada Muni? You said like the Madhumangala and the two souls actually entered.
No, no, no. It's only one soul. It's not two souls. Only one soul, but the amsha means a part, means the influence. The influence, you know, the Shakti is there, partially, you know. That's why Narada Muni has so much great sense of humor sometimes, you know. Because Madhumangala, you know, he makes Krishna laugh like anything with his jokes, and, you know, he's a Brahmin friend of Krishna. So Narada also got that from him, you know. There's one soul, just the influence is there, the Shakti, you know, it's empowerment. Like empowerment, you know.
So, another question is, before he was the Gandharva, before Narada was Gandharva, he was Narada himself.
Yeah, I hear something like that in some Puranas, they explain like that, that he was cursed to become, you know, Gandharva or something. Then he again became Narada again. So these things are there. But at least in the Bhagavatam, it is explained in this way by Narada Muni himself. He didn't mention in the Bhagavatam at least his birth before being a musician. He didn't mention it. So it could be, we don't know, I mean, many creation comes and goes and Narada Muni becomes, you know, again Narada again, but it is all a pastime because he's an eternal liberated soul.
Basically, my question was like the relationship which he achieved back, is the same kind of relationship or it could be different?
No, the relationship is eternal, it doesn't change, generally speaking, although maybe some exception. But generally speaking, anyone who is liberated is fully satisfied in his relationship with Krishna. Fully satisfied, they don't want to change. Those who are Krishna's friends, they are happy with that. completely satisfied. They think this is the best relationship I could have. So there is no need to change, because it's completely transcendental. All the relationship with Krishna, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, are completely transcendental, blissful. So the devotee doesn't feel the need to change anything. He's completely satisfied with that. But if we make a neutral study, the Madhurya Rasa is the highest because it's the most intimate relationship.
So in Madhumanga, he was in the Sakya Rasa, right?
Yes.
So, but Narada Muni actually is in the
Yeah, Dasya Ras mixed with Sakya Ras. So both are there. Both are there. And once Narad Muni went to Vrindavan. So he started to sing in his Veena, glorifying Krishna, and Krishna was very satisfied, very happy. So he offered a blessing to Narad. Narad, please ask me anything you want. Narad said, I would like one day to see you along with Lalita on the swing, and swing you and Lalita together, that would make me happy. Krishna smiled and said, yes, you will see it one day. So after some time, Narad Muni came back to Vrindavan, and Krishna was telling Radharani, be very much careful with this Narad because he likes to make sometime trouble. So be very careful with him, So say, no, Krishna said, he make any trouble between us. Nobody can make any problem between us. Krishna said, just, telling you, so be careful. So Krishna was waiting for Radharani to come to swing together, but then Narad Muni came, started to sing the glories of Krishna, and then he reminded him of his boon, of his blessing. I want to see that now, please, Krishna. So Nilalika was there waiting also for Radharani, and then all the gopis pushed her. She didn't want to, no, this is the place of my Swamini, my mistress, so I will not say, no, you have to do. So she sat next to Krishna, and the gopis were swinging them, and Narad Muni went immediately to Varsham and was chanting, in the Lalita Krishna, Lalita Krishna. Radharani said, why are you chanting like that? You always chant Radhika, Radha Krishna, not Lalita Krishna. Why are you singing? Ah, you don't know, you're very naive. You don't know what's going on your back. This is happening. So she went there very, disturbed. So she started to rebuke Krishna and Lalita. Krishna tried to pacify her. Lalita also, no, she will not be pacified. Then Krishna reminded him, remember what I told you about Narada? He likes to create problems. So this is, he did this. So she became happy. Then she sat next to Krishna, and Lalita was pushing her with the other gopis. That's it. So Narad Muni also has a form as Naradi, He went to Vrindavan and he wanted to see the Ras Lila. And Purnamasi Yogamaya advised him, you take in Kushum Sarovar, take your bath there, you will become Narada, and then you will see. And because in the male body you can see this Ras Lila, only in the female body. So he did like that, and he could witness the Ras Lila. Still there is deity there of Narada. So Narada is, he came also with Lord Chaitanya, Srivastava. Although he's nice tika brahmachari, he became Grihastha, Ashrivastha. So pure devotees above this designation, Grihastha, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa, all extend up. So Prabhupada calls Narada here the supreme spiritual master of all transcendentalists. And he's the first to disseminate devotional service throughout the universe. By the order of his father, Rama and Krishna. Rama is his guru. So Narada Muni is the highest among all the sons of Brahma. The highest of all the sons. Because most of the sons were interested in, you know, worldly fruitive activity, yagyas for better life, you know, this, that, material benefits. Sometimes Narada Muni had difficulty also with his brother Daksha, you know, because he preached to his sons to become detached from the material world. Daksha didn't appreciate that. You know, that's in the Bible. Many wonderful first times. Many children.
And then for the same person, Narada Muni was born to actually take them back.
Yes, right. Yes. Yes. He convinced them. You are ready. Situation transit. So Daksha was instructing the sons, okay, you do tapasya so you get prepared to get good children, you know? Because by doing tapasya you get the power to beget nice children, you know? But Narada Muni came and told them, you are ready, situated in transcendental life, because you're performing tapasya. Why then? He gave some metaphor, story, you know, about the entanglement in the material world, and they were so intelligent, they understood the meaning, the inner meaning. So they immediately accepted him as guru. And they decided to remain brahmacharis. So Daksha came to tell him, we are ready to touch. So he became very upset. And again created another set of sons, maybe like 100,000, something like a big number. He again not only convinced them the same thing. So Daksha became very disturbed and he cursed Narada that you can't stay for long in one place. Was actually a blessing, so he can travel all over the universe, please. And then he created the daughters, then Narada Muni didn't preach to them. Because women are not supposed to be renounced. You know? Prabhupada said all women has to get married. That is the Vedic injunction. So Narada Muni didn't go against Vedic injunction. Because they need protection. How was the Sankirtan, Yajna, the book distribution? Anybody who was here, went yesterday? Mother Vrajavu, how was the Sankirtan yesterday? Yeah. She's fired up. Very good. Very nice, very good, very good. Yes. Remember first time I heard about Narada Muni, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam. Wow, that's very, very interesting. That is a transcendental cosmonaut. He can travel over the universe without need of, you know, special suit or airship or, you know. just by the sound of the Veena. When he's playing the Veena, he can travel everywhere. This Veena was given to him directly by Krishna. And he could travel all over the universe by the sound of this Veena, transport wherever he wants to go. He's free to go anywhere, material and spiritual. Thank you very much. La Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Premanandi.
Jai.